This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hour number two of Grant and Danny underway on 106.7 The Fan. We've got a double play for you at 11:45 coming up later this hour. Also, at 11:18, the Redskins went with a defensive approach, first time, long time. This is the first defensive head coaching hire they've made since Marty Schottenheimer in 2001, 19 years ago. Everyone before that, under Dan Snyder, has been offensive. What do you make of Rivera and Jack Del Rio as a defensively laced tandem? But let's go to the Mattress Warehouse Hotline. Very excited to welcome onto the show a long time NFL quarterback who played in Carolina under Ron Rivera, Derek Anderson, whose career spanned 2005, starting in Baltimore, to as recently as last year when he played a couple of games for the Buffalo Bills. Derek, it's Grant and Danny in D.C. Thanks so much for a couple of minutes. How are you?
Good. How are you guys doing?
Doing real well, man.
Doing great. Tell us about Ron Rivera. He's the new head coach of the Redskins. Let's start with the type of guy that he is, and we could talk coach in a moment.
Fantastic human. I got to Carolina his first year there. Had met him just over the course of, obviously playing him, but never got to actually sit down and converse with him. But great human, cares about his players, cares about his staff. Can't say enough of good things about him. And I'm really excited about his opportunity there.
Derek, how does a guy walk the line? And what I mean is that empathy and that understanding and knowing what it's like to be an NFL player, because, he played in the league and everything. How do you walk the line between doing that and then still maintaining kind of the air of authority and discipline? How did he walk that line while you were playing for him?
He was unbelievable about, we kind of, when he first got there, we had a very young football team, not very many veterans. And as we kind of went through it, we added a few more, but letting guys kind of be themselves within this kind of within the locker room, you know what I'm saying? Like guy like Josh, for instance. Josh got there, he was young, he was knucklehead at times, but we all loved him and kind of knew what Josh was, and Josh could be himself, and it all worked. And I think that's the biggest thing, is letting guys have their own personalities. But as long as they're coming to work every day, showing up on time, doing the things that you ask, you give them the respect that they deserve, and everything works.
Derek Anderson played under Ron Rivera in Carolina, career spanned all the way till last year in Buffalo, and he's with us on Grant and Danny right now on 106.7 The Fan. I'm curious, Ron Rivera is known as such a defensive-minded guy, was a great coordinator, runs that side of the building. How involved is he at all in the offense? Is he the kind of guy that you say has to have a real strong OC? Like, as a quarterback, did you work with him as much as you traditionally would a head coach? Because you had some other stops around the league, obviously.
Yeah, he's very into what we were doing and always was. And me being the backup, I'd be back there standing there, and he'd be like, "Hey, come here." And we would talk about if there was, a scheme or a certain thing that was going on that week, what we were trying to attack exactly. And, he knows exactly what we're doing, and he'd be like, "Okay, just making sure." And, and he'll have ideas. He'll be like, "Hey, throw this one." He'll give it to me. He'll be like, "Hey, see if Mike likes this," or "go watch this play." And so he's doing his due diligence, on both sides of the ball, making sure that everybody's, kind of covered, but also has a little bit of input. But he's not a guy that's going to sit in there and tell, the coordinator what plays to run, give it to this guy, throw it to that guy. He lets them do their job, and that's why he hires them.
Derek, how did he handle discipline? I mean, it's inevitable. You get a bunch of people, different personalities and whatever else. There are going to be guys that, kind of step out or do something. It's human nature, obviously. How did he handle when guys would kind of get outside of the of what was the team focus?
Handled it internally, first and foremost. I think we all know that things in that building haven't been handled internally for a long time, and I think that's something that needs to happen. You know, just a good example, I think, is we had Greg Hardy for, I don't know, 5 years there, and we had some ups and downs with Greg. Our business, and we came in, and he worked, and unfortunately, went to Dallas. The things didn't get handled with him internally, and things got out publicly that maybe didn't need to get out publicly. And for the most part, you just handle it within your team. You have good veterans on your team, good guys in the locker room. Obviously, coach is a, you know, a big piece of that. But, you know, those guys handling the other guys and making, holding everybody accountable, I think that's the kind of the biggest reason why we had success was eventually it went from coach's team to our locker room, which means everybody, not just the players, the coaches, the staff, everybody had, you know, interest in what was going on with that. And I think guys respected that.
7 seasons under Ron Rivera, including the 15-1 Super Bowl run with Carolina for Derek Anderson. How should we look back at his run? Most of the guys getting hired are getting hired after being fired, right? Dudes that won like 3 Super Bowls in the last 4 years aren't just available to become head coaches. But if you look at his track record, he had some amazing 15-1, you know, 14-2, 12-4 seasons. But you guys, I don't think, ever won back-to-back, you know, 9-plus win seasons under him. Was there a problem, you know, year to year with consistency, or how should we kind of view overall his stint in Carolina, do you think?
No, I mean, we didn't, unfortunately, we didn't have back-to-back winning years, but that, there's things that, are, you know, other than coaching that go into that. We had guys get hurt. We had, you know, injuries. We had, you know, all sorts of random things. But I think the one thing that kind of holds true for him and our teams when we were there was we never, there was a season was never over. We continued to play, you know, to the very last game, no matter if we were making the playoffs or not, you know, gain that momentum so that when you do come back in the spring, you kind of have like a, some good positive vibes with you. You know, there's, I mean, I think our best kind of, I don't know if you would call it season, but best collective effort was we're 3-8-1, end up winning the division and going to the playoffs and winning a football game. That to me was kind of like the epitome of what he did. He kept everybody together, even when it looked absolutely horrendous. He'd come to the team meeting every morning and instill confidence in that whole entire group. And we did. And we continued to make games. Cam missing games. I played a game or two. And, you know, we ended up making the playoffs collectively. And it was an awesome deal, even though we weren't the best team on, you know, in the league. That kind of, I think that kind of sums up what, you know, what he does in a locker room when there can be chaos at times.
Derek Anderson talking. Ron Rivera with us here on Grant and Danny. Derek, how did he grow and change as a coach? I mean, inevitably, right? That's going to happen as guys go through this league and, you know, different team, different personnel and everything else. How did he grow over the years that you were with him?
He changed things. You know, he had his hand obviously more in the defense, and they would tweak things and he would make adjustments and within the staff. And I think he ultimately just kind of learned how to give us that locker room, so to speak. Does that make sense? Like, he wasn't putting his thumb on us at all times. And guys, you know, felt like they could be themselves. And I think that was a major growth from when we first got there. When we had, like I said, we had so many young guys and we weren't very good. He constantly had to be hammering away on guys. And then I think over time, eventually, what is it, 3 years ago now, it was probably like our when we had the most veteran team and guys kind of ran it themselves. And we did, and we learned how to practice. And everybody knew what was expected. And I think that growth in the team, if you could have seen that team in 2011, I believe it was my first year there, we didn't even know how to practice. And over the course of that time, we all, you know, got better. And I think that's, and that's, you know, a testament to Ron.
And you guys went from 2-14 the previous season before you guys got there, you and Rivera, to playoffs a couple of years later. Now, by the way, Derek Anderson, I'll always remember that 07 Browns team. That was one of my favorite teams ever. 29 touchdowns. Braylon Edwards was off the charts that year. He had 16 touchdowns. I think Kellen Winslow had a hell of a year. Joe Juravicius, I remember making big catches. Jamal Lewis running all over the place. That was a super fun team. You made the Pro Bowl that year, actually, right?
Yeah, yeah. That was a good one. I think we came there, though, and we kind of laid an egg, if I remember. Or maybe that was the next year.
No, but that was probably the most successful Browns team since they've come back. You know, being with the Browns, I'm curious. No, they're kind of the organizationally like viewed as the AFC version of the Redskins. You never were in Washington. In fact, you were never in the division, so I don't know if you even tracked the Redskins all that closely. But I am wondering, as a guy who was in the league as long as you were, are you surprised at all that someone like Ron Rivera would want to take this job after Jay got fired with the lack of success for the Skins? Does it surprise you that he would take on this challenge when he probably had other options?
No, I mean, it doesn't surprise me. Like I said, I know how things have kind of been gone on there, and I've had friends that have played there, and I think ultimately the biggest thing is making sure his team and in that building, things that happen there stay there, and they function in that thing. You eliminate the outside distractions. You eliminate, you know, leaking things to the media that's irrelevant that hurts your football team. You eliminate those things that are all around you, and you just focus on what's in the building. The team will get better, and wins will come.
Obviously, as a player, Derek, you got so much to worry about, right? Game planning every week, and you know, getting all your treatment and physical prep and stuff in. But just being around the building, I'm curious, how did you feel like Ron Rivera got along or didn't get along, or whatever it was, with general managers, with guys above him? Were there, you know, tugs of war for power, control, that sort of stuff? Because that's frankly been a long time issue here in Washington.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I mean by keeping things in the building. I mean, I think Ron did a fantastic job of him and Dave working together, and then obviously Dave was removed of his duties, and then Marty before him, and I think he did a fantastic job of, like I said, keeping things together inside. Like, what if there was ever an issue, it never left where we were, it never got to the media, and we kind of handled things. And Ron is a very professional in that matter, and I definitely respect him for that, because there was times that things could have gone haywire, or we had things come up that were nobody's business, and you know, we got through them as a team, as a group, and persevered through it.
Derek, before I let you go, non-Ron Rivera division real quick. You did spend a couple games starting for the Bills last year after they had some injury issues. Sean McDermott, who was in Carolina with you, I'm assuming was heavily involved in bringing you over. They made the playoffs for the second time in 3 years this season. They've got a big one coming up against the Texans. If you don't mind, give me a thought on the culture they're establishing in Buffalo, having been in that building last year.
I had a fantastic year there. Bunch of great dudes, young locker room for the most part. And that was kind of my role there last year, was to kind of help instill them some of the things that I learned when I was in Carolina, and help Josh learn to prepare. And fortunately, I had to shut her down in the spring. But, you know, they got a great group, guys that love each other, guys that play for each other. It's very similar to the culture that we built in Carolina. You know, having teammates that you care about, doing things with guys off the field. And I think ultimately in this league, and you have those young guys, getting them together like that, you're going to win football games in time. You just continue to kind of push the positivity. I speak with Josh quite a bit, and he's a good friend, and I try to always send good positive messages for him, and you know, I wish those guys the best. They got a little tough test on their hand this week, but I think they can get it done.
Derek, this was awesome, man. Really appreciate the insight on Ron Rivera and kind of all things NFL, man. I really appreciate it this morning. Happy New Year.
Yeah. Thank you, guys. Take care of my guy, Ron, now. Don't be dragging him to the mud out there.
We'll do what we can do. Thank you, Derek.
Thanks, guys.
60 touchdowns, 10,000 passing yards, and a 70 rating. Has been in the NFL since 2005. This was his first season out of the league. He was at Oregon State and then spent 14 years in the National Football League. Appreciate the time and the insight from him. He mentioned Buffalo there at the end. It sounds weird, Danny. The way things have gone for the Bills, the success that they've had the last couple of years, one of the reasons I have so much confidence in this hire and like this hire so much. Because you heard what he said. McDermott took the culture that was established in Carolina and kind of applied it to Buffalo. He brought his GM from that building.
Right.
So when Rivera comes here now and he'll try to do the same, we've seen that it's been portable to another organization.
And this is the thing, and again, famously, I'm not sure it's that famous, but you know what I mean. The question you asked at that disastrous Bruce Allen presser years ago that gave us winning off the field.
Famously. They talk about it in countries all over the world.
It's taught in journalism school. I'm an idiot, but you see my point. It's that, tell me why you haven't done this. Why hasn't this happened? To me, it's the most intuitive, no-brainer of a thing. If I take over an NFL team, I take over a Major League Baseball team, I take over whatever, you go, who's good? Who's been good for a while? Them, okay? How do they do it? All right, like that. Well, why don't we get the number two over there and bring him here and make him the number one? It's the most obvious, glaring, simple thing that you could do to improve an organization. Ta-da, look at what happened, right? You bring in a couple guys, you bring in culture. Yeah, it's a good old boy system and friends are friends. But still, if you're successful, keep the formula together, right? You look at the teams that were bad, went and did it, they figured it out. That's just what you do. And if it doesn't work, you try it again. So basic. And yeah, so good for Buffalo. I'm hoping we got some of that good experience from Carolina coming this way.
Thanks to Derek Anderson. We'll have a few different Panthers on in the coming days who played for Ron Rivera, including running back Jonathan Stewart as well. Next, the Skins go defensive with their hiring and their philosophy, Rivera and Del Rio. Do they have to keep Kevin O'Connell to make this all work? What if he does end up leaving and Dwayne Haskins starts anew with a different offensive coordinator? Would it in any way spoil some of your excitement about the direction? We'll get into that on G&D next on The Fan.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Tweet just kicked in, and you can hit us up at Grant H. Paulson and at Funny Danny from Paul. He says, I love the hire of Rivera, but isn't it strange that a big-time defensive head coach hired a big-time defensive assistant coach? Usually the big-time assistant hire would be on the other side of the ball. I get what you're saying, but understand, Rivera doesn't want to call defensive plays. He had to take over more responsibility after the departure of Steve Wilks in the last year and a half, and I'll bet you he'd tell you it hurt him as a head coach. He got fired as the Panthers regressed, probably more than anything else because of the injury to Cam Newton. When Kyle Allen and Will Greer are struggling, makes you look worse as a head coach at the quarterback position. But on top of that, for years he had a lieutenant in Wilks who he trusted, who ran his defense and made calls, and he didn't have to worry a whole lot about that. Then he took on more DC duties, so to speak, coordinating. He doesn't want to do that. That's why he brought in Jack Del Rio. I think it's really smart. The question becomes, are they going to keep Kevin O'Connell or not? And we should get more information on that sometime today is my guess.
So let me add a note quickly on Del Rio. My favorite thing among good leaders, okay, this is like this is my new focal point. You know, you just like you hone in on certain things and you look for it and you like decide this is the most important thing until your focus changes. For me, real leaders, real smart people, real qualified folks don't care if there are talented people underneath them and around them. All you care about the end result. You have enough confidence in yourself to not go, well, Jack Del Rio's been a head coach before. If I hire him and I just get up to a bad start, they're going to make him the head coach. Or I'm not threatened by the idea of having another really qualified guy with a great track record as a defensive mind in my building. It doesn't have to be my way. I will let smart people work for me and do their jobs. I think that's what leadership is. And I give Rivera a ton of credit for that. Because how easy would it have been for him to go, we're going to run my defense my way, that's it, I'll hire some, you know, no-name, Joe Barry-like figure just to carry out my orders, right?
I think you could do it both ways and have success, but I'm with you. I find this way admirable. One of the things I really liked about Jay Gruden was I thought he was great at empowering people around him. Like, he was comfortable enough in his own skin that he could have a former head coach who would make for an easy interim head coach if he got fired. Bill Callahan on his staff. He didn't mind bringing in a bunch of former coordinators and coaches to be assistants on his staff as a first-time head coach. I like that about him. You know, generally, Sean McVay or Kyle Shanahan gets hired, they're going to call their own plays. Those guys are right away going to prove, well, it's my offense. I know what I'm doing. Let's go score some points. But Ron Rivera doesn't have to do that. He's very comfortable and knows people respect him. He wants to run the outfit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he wants to just kind of be in charge of the operation, and I think he knows he's got work to do on this culture. So the less he's got to worry about running defensive meetings,
right,
the better.
On game day, when am I challenging? When am I punting? When am I going for two? When am I going for it on fourth down? He's going to decide those things, the CEO. Empowering smart people underneath you, that's what leadership is. I'm all in favor of it. And just in general, I know that Jay did it to some degree, but his defensive coordinator hires kind of stand out as maybe the contrast to that, you know, just in terms of what he didn't do in that regard. But there were former high-level guys on his staffs, you know, whether it was Bill Callahan, who'd coached in the Super Bowl, among other things.
If you missed Derek Anderson on Grant and Danny a few minutes ago, the former quarterback in Carolina under Ron Rivera, you know, one of the things he said over and over again, I thought it was kind of the theme of the conversation, was you won't have a whole lot of leaks. You're not going to have things getting out of the locker room when Rivera runs the show. And if you missed the interview, you can grab it on our radio.com rewind 24-hour function via the app. Make sure you download radio.com to kick off 2020. But this was interesting from Anderson on Rivera.
No, I mean, it doesn't surprise me. Like I said, I know how things have kind of been gone on there, and I've had friends that have played there. And I think ultimately the biggest thing is making sure his team and in that building, things that happen there stay there, and they function in that thing. You eliminate the outside distractions. You eliminate, you know, leaking things in the media that's irrelevant, that hurts your football team. So you eliminate those things all around you, and you just focus on what's in the building. The team will get better, and wins will come.
I have always just kind of wanted Redskins Park to be a place. I don't want to say leak-free, because as someone who's in the media, that's kind of oxymoronic. But I want it to be a place where guys don't have to worry about their coaches talking bad about them or putting out the wrong thing. He made the point that Greg Hardy, when he played for the Panthers with all the things going on, mm-hmm. was able to essentially focus on football, and it worked out.
Yep.
As soon as he went to Dallas, they couldn't control him, and he got out of whack. I don't know how to word this, but to me, that is crystallizing.
Yeah, it's
a guy like Greg
buying,
Hardy in
right?
Carolina under Rivera stayed in line. It worked. You got a lot out of him. The Cowboys tried to do the same thing, got nothing out of him, and it exploded in their faces. That's a great compliment to Ron Rivera, right?
Agreed. Culture setting, right? Having read from Michael Lombardi and heard him talk about it as a guest on our show, you know, and think of the way the Patriots do it, right? Where, I mean, that's obviously not something you can easily replicate, but you buy in immediately or you're gone. And there's, you know, now it's harder to get there without really talented players and smart guys like Tom Brady and company setting that course. But there's a cultural buy-in that has to happen. And it's easy to say, oh, this is a good guy. Well, are you part of this everybody pulling the rope in the same direction, we're just here to win football games type culture? Doesn't mean you have to be a robot. Doesn't mean you can't have any joy or fun playing the sport. But as long as you take care of your stuff, Joe Gibbs only had one rule. Don't embarrass us or the team. Don't embarrass yourself or the team. And guys figured out a way to buy in, right? And you saw the glory that came from that, how great the Redskins were in his 12-plus years as head coach. That, to me, is what's needed. And it's easy to say. It's hard to do.
So let's talk offense for a second. You got the defense, it seems like, on lock. What a difference a week makes, right? I mean, by the way, the juxtaposition, with all due respect to Greg Minuski, from him to Rivera and Del Rio trying to solve an offensive plan. Can you imagine the difference for this defensive group this year, these players, asking questions of Rivera and Del Rio instead of Greg Minuski?
Yeah, right.
But anyway, on the offensive side of the ball, maybe more importantly now, because of your kid quarterback, Dwayne Haskins, you're going to make or break in 2020 your entire season, and maybe even the next few years. Ron Rivera's success or failure over his first few years in Washington is going to hinge on the right arm and right shoulder of Dwayne Haskins.
Mm-hmm.
Setting him up for success becomes, in my opinion, the number one priority of this new coaching staff. How do you best do that? That's what Rivera's got to answer. That's what he immediately today needs to be trying to figure out and working on ahead of his 2 p.m. press conference. He can't wait till after 2 p.m.
Right.
He should be sitting down right now and trying to figure out if Kevin O'Connell's the right guy for the job. I have a hard time believing he wouldn't be, with the development of Haskins as the year went along. Haskins, who advocated for him on Monday at locker room cleanout. It's not just Haskins who flourished from the beginning of the year to the end of the year. You look at McLaurin with 900 yards, Steven Sims, an undrafted free agent.
This guy started to
Kelvin
emerge.
Harmon looked like an NFL wide receiver. Yeah. Wes Martin all of a sudden looked like a decent interior offensive lineman. There were a lot of young players in this Kevin O'Connell-led offense that were better at the end of the year than they were at the beginning. Bodes well, both for Kyle Smith, who drafted and brought those players in, and O'Connell, who's helping to turn those groceries into a meal as a coach day in and day out on the practice field. If he doesn't stay, though, how different do you feel about this hiring? Because I feel like this is pertinent. I would hate for Haskins to have to learn a new offense next year.
Me too.
You want to stunt this guy's growth. You want to make sure his development stalls. You want to make it really hard for him to pick up where he left off in December with back-to-back good games. Learn new words, new verbiage.
Yeah, that language.
Bring
you
in a new coordinator. And it's not all up to the Redskins. Again, they have O'Connell under contract, so they could just decide, you're absolutely not leaving. But what if he says to him, hey, guys, I didn't really choose to work with Bill Callahan. That was not that fun for me. Ron Rivera seems like a great guy, but I'm not getting to choose to work with him. I wanted to work with Jay. Now I want to work with McDaniels or
whatever. Right?
Can you please let me out of my contract? I would tell him no, but who knows if they would.
Right. I mean, it sounds like, at least from what we've heard, is that it will truly be up to Rivera. I think that's a good thing. Right? You get to pick your assistants.
Rather than what? Like Dan Snyder saying, hey, this is your OC.
He's staying, and that's all there is to it. This is a condition of employment.
True, and I'll give Snyder credit, but I also think, I don't know if you agree with this, I don't think Rivera takes this job if he's being dictated to on an OC.
You would think.
Just like he wouldn't take this job if he's being dictated to on, this is the quarterback you have to work with, or anything else like that. He had enough leverage, you'd have to imagine. You're out kicking your coverage a little bit with the hire, so suddenly, he's going to get more front office influence than he had previously.
Yeah.
All those things benefit him because he's the one saying, yeah, I'll take your gig.
So ultimately, I would be less optimistic or excited about Haskins' prospects because that's tough for any quarterback. I mean, go back to before the draft last year. In general, that's why I was like, I don't think they should draft a quarterback here. Right? Because we were talking at that point about Will Greer or Drew Locke or somebody, right, who needed some work. I didn't think Haskins would be available, and I really like Haskins. So I kind of said, well, forget about that philosophy. You get a guy that I think is going to be really good in the building. We'll just figure the rest out. But I'm going, at 15, if you draft somebody there, you're basically saying, learn one thing for 1 year, start over with a brand new staff in year number two. If you've got a chance to build that bridge and keep Kevin O'Connell, I'd be excited about that. Now, you hope that O'Connell's still excited about working with Haskins and McLaurin and company, and you would hope that Rivera, I mean, frankly, what happened is Kevin O'Connell's offense beat the tar out of Ron Rivera and the Carolina Panthers, and he got fired the next day. I'd go, can you replicate what you did against me that cost me my first job?
Well, I was thinking about that with Haskins, too, because I don't think he takes this job if he's not high on Haskins. You know that you're linked to this guy for a couple of years. Haskins, the first time he looked like an NFL quarterback, and it wasn't a great game, but it was a solid game.
Yeah, they ran it for a million yards. And
Carolina. You know, that was the hand it off to guys, hand it off to Peterson. They'll run for 6.5 a pop, and then you get to make a throw out of play action every now and then.
Mm-hmm.
But it was the first time all season where it looked like Dwayne Haskins is making a lot of progress. I wonder if Rivera had coached against them on one of those early games where he's missing guys by 7 feet.
Right, against the Jets or something like that. You'd be like, oh,
or the
no.
Bills or whatever.
Yeah.
I wonder if he'd have the same opinion. Obviously, the film study is going to be revealing for Rivera and make him feel pretty good about those last 2 weeks as well. Kevin O'Connell is the offensive coordinator. What if he is not here? How different would you feel about all this, and how vital do you think it is that he is kept? 800-636-1067 is the number on Grant and Danny. Got a double play coming up at 11:45. Carl Hagelin of the Capitals next hour.
Brought to you by Jiffy Lube. Derek Anderson played for Ron Rivera down in Carolina. His thoughts on what the guy does when the going gets tough, as he did down in Carolina. He'll say it, I promise he will.
We're 3-8-1, end up winning the division and going to the playoffs and winning a football game. That to me was kind of like the epitome of what he did. He kept everybody together, even when it looks absolutely horrendous. He'd come into the team meeting every morning and instill confidence in that whole entire group.
Ron Rivera press conference at 2, then the head coach of the Redskins will join Chad Dukes versus the world afterwards right here on 106.7 The Fan. He's already added Jack Del Rio as his defensive coordinator. Former Maryland head coach DJ Durkin has joined the coaching staff at Ole Miss for new head coach Lane Kiffin. College Hoops conference play, it's January getting underway. Lehigh's at Navy in Annapolis tonight. Americans on the road at preseason favorite Colgate. VCU is hosting Fordham. We're brought to you by Jiffy Lube. Once again this year, the Washington, D.C. area Jiffy Lube owners are proud to support Wreaths Across America by sponsoring Wreaths Laid, as they did this past month at Arlington National Cemetery. Learn more about this program at wreathsacrossamerica.org. From the Crop Metcalf 5-Star Sports Desk, I'm Pete Medhurst, Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
If you look at the numbers for the Redskins offense this year, nothing's going to impress or jump out at you. However, December, they scored 35 points against the Giants, and 27 points against the Eagles, and couple of shootout losses in the division, 29 points against Carolina. Things started to trend up. A big reason for that was the major improvement of quarterback Dwayne Haskins. You saw Haskins, McLaurin, Harmon, Sims, among others, really break out under Kevin O'Connell, who never really got to run the offense that from our conversations with him, that when I've written about him and or we've had him in interviews on the show, what you saw is not what he talks about as his philosophy. It was Bill Callahan's philosophy. Mm-hmm. Probably a maddening and frustrating several weeks for him. That having been said, now, with 1 year left on his contract, the Redskins are determining whether or not they're going to bring him back. I think he should be retained, if for no other reason than that Dwayne Haskins wouldn't have to learn two offenses in 2 years. Go ask Baker Mayfield or Jason Campbell what that's like. I just think it's the best way to hurt your young quarterback. And one of the big differences between the guys that end up being very good and the guys that end up being bad is the turmoil that they go through early when they're trying to master an offense, and they never get to a point where they can because they're learning something else.
It's that paradox, right? You typically are drafting a quarterback that to start for you right away when you're a bad team. When you're a bad team, you tend to fire coaches, right? You have transition, you have change. It makes it that much harder. I mean, you can go back in history and look at all the quarterbacks that were highly touted, that this is the latest can't miss. This is a guy that's going to be a superstar. And somehow we all think of them now as punchlines. It never worked out. Well, they went to bad teams, bad organizations. Bad organizations and bad teams have these chaotic moments. They have these, nonsensical, ridiculous actions to not set up this really, really important player for success. The Redskins were falling into that trap when you fire your head coach that was you had the idea that he would work with Haskins. Well, he's gone after 5 games. You want to have some ability to build on success. And that would include, to me, keeping Kevin O'Connell. That's right. Unless I'm totally overestimating the relationship those two guys seem to have developed. They're not there in the park every day. I don't see them, walking arm in arm or exchanging text messages. But you would
I don't
think
even care
stands a reason.
Like, if they hang out and drink together, or if they go high five and play golf, or if they hate each other. I saw what I needed to see on the field, which was Haskins was being put in better positions to succeed. It seemed like O'Connell had really figured something out with what worked and what didn't for Seven, and I think that's important. But more than any of that, let's say none of that happened. Granted, I wouldn't just keep something bad that's not working for the continuity of continuity's sake.
Mm-hmm.
But I know what will hurt Haskins most is learning a second offense.
Agree with that.
Now, if you go from Jared Goff, where you had a terrible non-NFL offense, to Sean McVay, then learning a second offense when it's going to actually make you a lot better, not a big deal. Similarly, Mitch Trubisky, you bring in Matt Nagy. It's a better offense than John Fox's dinosaur, know, Paleolithic or whatever. What time frame are dinosaurs? Is it
Mesozoic?
Mesozoic, thank you.
Mesozoic.
Mesozoic level, like, nonsense that John Fox was doing. So sometimes it can be good if you have to. I think Kevin O'Connell is a pretty modern day, smart, sharp guy anyway. Let's go to Matt in D.C. on the Fan. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing well. Happy day. We get a new guy to change the culture, because even though the culture was damn good day.
Day. Keep the culture damn good day.
There you go. I want to preface what I'm going to say by saying I hope Kevin O'Connell stays. But I just have two quick questions if you guys could address. One is, was it Kevin O'Connell's offense or was it Jay Gruden's offense that Kevin O'Connell was running? So if he stays, would Haskins be, in essence, learning a new offense? And then two, if O'Connell leaves, wouldn't it be better for him? Because next year he might leave to get a head coaching job or let it leave for a better opportunity anyway.
Possibly. Hopefully by then, maybe a guy like Tim Rattay, the quarterback's coach, could be elevated. I'll worry about next year. I think the second year for a quarterback is the most important season. And that's something I've always felt is drilled into my head by Mike and Kyle Shanahan and all my conversations with them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, year two to year three, to me, you've kind of learned your tricks, your mechanics, all those things. Like, this is the biggest offseason of development for a QB, period.
And it's not to say that you can't improve or fall back from year two to year three. There's a million samples. But I'm with you in the sense that everything's coming at you really fast.
Yeah.
You're a professional now. You gotta buy a house. You got to, you know, figure out
and you're going back on
go.
Your – you played. So you have those experiences now to go from for the first time. So if he leaves next year, hypothetically, big if, okay – then I'll worry about that then. Maybe I promote from within. Maybe I go get somebody else. We'll see.
But the point to me there is you're better prepared to handle that after a couple of years of being a professional football player, right? Like, it's a setback, yes, when you lose your guru, your rabbi, the guy that kind of helped make you. I get that. It's not going to be easy, but you're better able to deal with it after 2 years of playing in the league for the same guy. And learning a new offense isn't the arduous task that it might be right now, for a guy that's still learning.
Was it Gruden's offense or O'Connell's? I would say it was both. You know, it was mostly what you saw recently, Callahan's offense. The point is the verbiage, all the language, the words you're using, all those things are the same. You know, what changes is philosophy, you know, some paradigm stuff, when on what downs you do things, you know, run versus pass, what are you going to major in and minor in, those types of things. But I think schematically, keeping the guy who's been in your building for the last 3 years, much less change than going outside of the building.
And if there was an improvement down the stretch, I wouldn't feel the same way. Because you referenced Goff, there was an improvement with like any kind of shift or change. You saw the arrow trending up for the guy. That says keep the band.
And you also just knew from watching that offense that was elementary nonsense.
Yeah.
Steve in Rockville, how are you?
Hey, Steve.
Good. I think that maybe the greater point to be made here is that if it's not O'Connell, and I hope they do keep him, is that whoever they get, that they understand how to build an offense around the players. Because the way I look at this is that, yes, it was definitely that they did a great job of transitioning Haskins from being completely lost and clueless on the field to the opposite, really, at the end of the year. But it was also how they leveraged the talent at wide receiver and some of these other positions. And it was the polar opposite on defense. How many times did we hear about defensive players complaining that they were like a square peg in a round hole, that Minuski was giving them assignments, you know, having some of these guys drop back in coverage that couldn't cover. So that's my point.
Appreciate you, buddy. There's a couple questions on O'Connell still that I think are pretty intriguing we can get to next. Also, someone wants to talk about the number two pick, so we could do that as well. 800-636-1067. Remember, Ron Rivera will be on the station today after his press conference, which is scheduled for 2 o'clock right here on The Fan. We'll cram in a double play with some thoughts on Kevin O'Connell and the number two pick in the draft on G&D Now.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
The good news for you guys is when we go to break today, you don't have to change the station if that's what you normally do.
It's not going to be a very long wait.
Just hang out for like 14 seconds, and then we're going to be right back. That's the cool thing about today.
Bad part is you can't go to the bathroom.
Grant and Danny, 106.7 The Fan. Well, they can go to the bathroom.
Well, you can do whatever you want. We can't, in other words.
We'll try to crowbar in a double play in just a second. But George wants to talk about the number two pick. By the way, I just want to pre-tell you right now, I can't wait to have 1,000 conversations about picking second.
Oh, it's so much.
I am so pumped about being at number two on the draft board. Chase Young.
Bell of the ball, man.
Or trading down. Basically, the whole draft starts after the Bengals take Joe Burrow. Oh, what's up, George? How are you?
What's up, George?
Hey, guys, love the draft season coming up. And pick two is always going to be a really fun one, especially with Burrow going one. But, you know, you have a new regime coming in, and I'm not down on Haskins by any means. But we've seen it like just like last year with the Cardinals and Rosen, and then they went and got Murray. Would there be a possibility of them passing up on Chase Young and like, hey, we love Tua more than we love Haskins? Being a new regime, you're not really married to Haskins yet. And maybe you see him, you know, it's all hypothetical, but you move on from Haskins already, trade him off, and then you get the guy that might have the higher grade. It's a quarterback league, and you need the best one available.
So it's a good question. It's not crazy.
It's not crazy. That's the thing.
I would say that you don't take this job if you don't believe in Haskins, but Kingsbury took the Cardinals' job without believing in Rosen. Now, they had the number one pick, and Kyler Murray was the Heisman Trophy winner, so maybe it's a different deal. If the Redskins picked first, I really believe you'd have to take Joe Burrow if you didn't trade back. And I guarantee you they'd want to take Joe Burrow in that building. Would Dan Snyder let them? Would he allow, whether it's Kyle Smith and the scouting staff, if that was Ron Rivera's wish and dream, would he allow him to do it? I don't know the answer to that. We don't have to worry about it because they don't have the number one pick. And you weren't in, but I made this point on Monday. The only reason they didn't get the number one pick was because the Dolphins didn't get that two-point conversion.
Oh, yeah, or go to overtime and win, which they would have, by the way, with with Uncle Fitzpatrick running up and down the field.
Which is hilarious. But anyways, they pick second. Yeah. So Tua may or may not come out. He's going to make his decision in 4 days on Monday. I don't view him as can't miss. I don't view him as a guy you have to draft, especially after his injury. I don't view Herbert, who I watched yesterday for Oregon, score 3 touchdowns as a rusher that way. I definitely don't view Jake Fromm, who I've always liked as a college quarterback that way. It's Joe Burrow or bust. I don't think that's a possibility. Mm. Now, if they shocked everyone and they...
Since you mean.
Right. And they took Chase Young, then I'm taking Joe Burrow too, and you'll figure the rest out later. For me, he's just different. But to that question, is there any way that they could want to take a quarterback at number two or maybe move down and get a QB because, you know, they want to start with their own guy? I can't completely rule it out. My assumption is if you're Rivera, you don't take this job if you don't really like Haskins, because we know that Dan Snyder is hell-bent on Haskins working.
I also think it's the Arizona Cardinals situation is extremely rare. That's the other thing.
But it's the last one. There's a lot of rare situations that are becoming new trends.
Yes, we have right now it's still a one-off. If it starts happening more and more, we could talk about it, but that's still the unique circumstance in the history of this league as far as I can remember, right? I don't remember that happening any other time. I could be proven wrong. Somebody might tell me about Norm Van Brocklin in the 50s or 60s, and God bless you. But to me, in the modern era of the league, I can't remember that happening. So it's still a unique case until it isn't. I think you're right about that. But the other part, standard practice, you would assume that Ron Rivera has some level of buy-in on Dwayne Haskins, right? Would I rule it out? Not entirely. I wouldn't say it. Because think about what happens. Right now, we think we know what the draft board is. Everyone's got their mocks already. We are months away from this process really kicking up. So right now, Chase Young's the number two player. Well, what if Justin Herbert has incredible workouts and people, you know, start to make excuses for him and figure out why he didn't put up some of the numbers that he should have, but he's, you know, hitting the X in the exit sign from 60 yards away and looks incredible. I'm just offering an example. So he all of a sudden becomes the can't-miss number two guy. Or Andrew Thomas wows everybody in workouts. Or Jerry Jeudy runs a 4-1, and everyone's like, he's got to be the number two pick. My point is, what we think we know right now, A, often changes. B,
the Chase Young thing's not changing. Here's how it changes if he gets hurt. I mean, people who follow the draft year-round know that this guy is talked about in a... This is not like Bradley Chubb. This is not even Myles Garrett, per se. Guys like Todd McShay and Mel Kiper, they're falling all over themselves. They can't help themselves. But it's a different conversation. I get what you're saying. Going back to whether or not they would consider taking a quarterback, The crazy thing is you and I can't sit here and definitively say there's no way they would do that because there's now a precedent for it. But it sounds like you're like me. If you're Rivera, you're looking at all these openings,
you
these jobs.
You would think, right?
I'm not signing on for the Redskins if I don't think Dwayne Haskins is an NFL quarterback. Now, maybe this would even be a different discussion if the last two games didn't happen. If he's still against the Eagles and against the Giants, look like he looked in all the games before that.
That's a very different combo. Because that's Josh Rosen. That's what happened.
Right. Then you just have a guy who has shown nothing going into the offseason after being picked 15th. You don't have that, though. You have a guy who in his last two games looked like he belongs.
The arrow's trending up.
Let's go to Colin in Clinton. How are you?
Good. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah.
I agree with you, Grant. O'Connell is really important to the development of Haskins. My question is that is this not an example of carryover during the offseason? Last week I called in while Danny was out in regards to winning at the end of the season and how it was important to developing the players that are on your roster now as opposed to, you know, improving your draft position. You know, I think Derek Anderson touched on that today in the call. He said that it was really important to have momentum going into the next season. And, you know, this was kind of something, Grant, you said, you know, you just didn't think there was much carryover.
Yeah, I don't think winning in week 17 or week 16 has anything to do with September. And I never will believe that.
With roster changes in the NFL, with as much turnover as there is, I never buy the momentum thing.
Yeah, of course, keeping a coach, there's momentum to that. I don't understand the link between the two or the question, honestly. I mean, if your point is, would winning in week 16 or week 17 have helped them somehow this offseason? My answer is still no. What's helped them is that they hired a head coach who has a good track record in Ron Rivera and a defensive coordinator who is highly thought of in Jack Del Rio. And Kevin O'Connell is under contract for a year. How Dwayne Haskins played in those final games was always going to matter moving forward.
Yeah, so the development
of
young...
How Terry McLaurin played was always going to matter. Winning those football games, to me, is completely irrelevant. I don't even remember which games they won or lost at this point.
Right.
Doesn't matter.
That to me is meaningless, and I don't believe in that carryover. Again, because 40% of even good teams' rosters are going to change from year to year, right? But the thing you care about in terms of momentum is the growth of Dwayne Haskins, the growth of Steven Sims, the growth of Terry McLaurin. Wes Martin getting playing time. Winning as a corollary to young players playing well, I'm fine with that. I'd rather them pick second, obviously, than sixth. So I'm glad it kind of turned out the way that it did. But the most important thing watching those games down the stretch was, what is Dwayne Haskins doing? What are the young players that are going to be here doing? And if they played well enough that it caused the team to win, I could live with that.
Let's go to JT and Sterling on the Fan. Hey, JT, how are you?
Hey, JT.
Grant, Danny, what's going on? Hey, I wanted to kind of flip the coin here a little bit. We're talking about whether Ron Rivera wants Kevin O'Connell. Well, does Kevin O'Connell want to attach his wagon to Dwayne Haskins essentially in an audition year moving forward when he could be essentially auditioning for a head coaching position somewhere? I just kind of wanted to throw that out to you.
Smart
all.
Smart question.
Yeah.
Flip the coin a little bit.
We brought it up a little bit earlier where I think it's a strange situation. It's almost like they're interviewing each other to figure out, do we vibe? Do we think of the game in a similar way? Is Kevin O'Connell going to, you would think, as Ron Rivera, defensive coordinator or defensive mind, is going to say, yeah, you're my play caller. There aren't too many situations where Kevin O'Connell could walk in and call the plays. You'd have to find another defensive-minded head coach or another guy that's going to give him the autonomy to demonstrate those skills. And that's the best way to become a head coach in this league is to call your own plays, show that you have a great acumen for offense and you can make the ball move up and down the field, then people, you decide you're the next sexy head coach.
How much higher does he view Haskins than he did at the start of the year? Now, how much has his opinion on him grown? He's one of the quote-unquote football people, you have to imagine. He thinks like Gruden. He gets along with Kyle Smith. That was the group of guys that was kind of against Dan Snyder when it came to Haskins. So I would like to know the answer to that. I'm sure he would tell you that Haskins grew a lot, and it'd be impossible to imagine he doesn't think more of the quarterback now than he did when he showed up in his building as a prospect. But I think it's an excellent question because, as I said, he's very, very close with Josh McDaniels among other offensive-minded coaches around the league. McDaniels might get a head coaching job in a day at this point. I guess it wouldn't be official for a while, but he's apparently the front runner for the Cleveland Browns gig. that wouldn't come to fruition until he's out of the playoffs with the Patriots, if in fact it happens. So yeah, I'm sure there are situations he might like better. Maybe working with Baker Mayfield, working with Josh McDaniels. He's under contract for a year, so it's not up to him. I mean, the Redskins have to let him walk. That's something you got to remember. Thami, if you would play me the double play sounder, please. I'd like to really quickly crowbar this in with you, Danny, on the back end here. I don't know if you saw this tweet from the mayor of New York City yesterday, Bill de Blasio.
I did.
But apparently Domino's sold $30 pizzas at Times Square's ball drop to revelers on New Year's Eve. So they jacked up their prices a bunch, walked around and sold $30 pizzas to a bunch of people standing in Times Square. The mayor was furious. He said, jacking up your prices on people trying to celebrate the holidays, classy Domino's. To the thousands who came to Times Square last night to ring in 2020, I'm sorry this corporate chain exploited you. Stick it to them by patronizing one of our fantastic local pizzerias. My first reaction to this is, number one, people that go to Times Square and stand there for hours and hours and hours and wear diapers. You know people do that?
Oh, yeah.
They wear diapers. I don't feel bad for them at all.
Not at all.
What a dumb thing to do with your time. What a terrible way to spend New Year's Eve. If you want to eat, you're going to be hungry. You have to eat what's available to you. You know what happens at games? They charge way more for those chicken tender baskets and French fries that I eat because I'm not leaving to go eat. This is called capitalism. Like, this is the whole point of everything. Supply and demand. You want to eat while you're being stupid and being in New York City for 26 hours straight and wearing a diaper so that you can go to the bathroom all over yourself? Cool. I have no problem with this whatsoever. What about you?
Zero. Zero. Now, the mayor sticking up for his local pizzerias, local businesses.
Cool.
God bless you. So you could say, try our regular pizzerias.
But they won't charge you 30. At Domino's?
It's hard to hear you from your high horse, sir. This is what happens, right? You get drunk, you get hammered, you get charged more for an Uber. You get drunk, you get hammered late at night, it costs you more to eat the pizza. You know what I mean? Be an adult. Be accountable. If you don't want to eat the pizza, you don't have to. Nobody made them. Nobody held anybody hostage. You did that to yourself, okay? You don't like it. There's a very simple thing you can do. Not order Domino's. It's really easy. Watch me. Follow me around today. I won't be ordering Domino's. If you'd like to order Domino's, you agree to pay the prices. It's not as if somebody did a bait and switch where they go, it's $7. Just kidding. It's $30. It's not what happened.
Do you want Domino's or you don't?
Be accountable for yourself.
Do you want to eat pizza or you don't? If you want to eat pizza, you got to pay $30. You probably have to pay a lot to park when you go down there, too. Are we going to change that? You might have to pay a lot to, when you have to... You have to use this restaurant to go to the bathroom, but you have to buy something when you go in. How dare you? Those people just have to go to the bathroom.
You're exploiting people.
They're victims.
I'm sure they are.
Grant and Danny on the Fan. The Beltway Blitz is next at 12:18 today. We'll rank the Ron Rivera hire 1 to 10 scale with you guys on the evening.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.